Alrighty, this is a, you know what? I am calling this a must-win game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They cannot lose back-to-back games against two bad teams. The Carolina Panthers are struggling. Matt Rhule is even on the hot seat. I mean, he's going to finish out the year. Is David Tepper going to bring him back? Has he lost the locker room? Very telling on one of the questions that he was asked this week. You know, you guys aren't playing for the playoffs. What are you doing to motivate your players? And he said, that's not my job. That's basically what he said. You don't have Christian McCaffrey. This might be the last home game ever in a Carolina Panthers uniform for Cam Newton. They're going to use both quarterbacks. Yeah, they have a decent defense. This is a team on a losing streak. They're struggling. They're bad. They're nearly not playing for anything. They're playing for film for their own careers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even with the injuries, no more excuses. You have to win this game. How are you? This is Bucs Kickoff. 24 hours before every Buccaneer kickoff, I'm Rock Rowley, and it is on JoeBucsFan.com. I've been over at One Buck all week long. What I have seen, I always bring in a rock lister. I've got from Channel 10. He's Ben Murphy. Ben Murphy, sports reporter, anchor. He's over there. He's covering the Buccaneers. I saw him at practice this week. I said, Ben, come over here. Let's do this thing. We'll do it inside the walls of One Buck. You might even hear some of the crowd noise, the fake crowd noise that they're putting in. I don't know how loud it's going to be at this Bank of America Stadium. But let me tell you first, this Bucs Kickoff podcast is always brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford Tampa. The family name is so strong. Ford family's first family in Tampa Bay. 60 years. 60 years this family has been in business. Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan. He is the best general manager of any dealership in the state of Florida. When you go to Bill Curry Ford, they're located a quarter of a mile right up the road on Dale Mabry from Raymond James Stadium. When you go there, you ask for Sean Sullivan. He will answer any question you have. If you're thinking about buying, all right, you want to get it in really this week before the new year with the great prices, it may be something you're going to do even in the spring. You're looking at maybe a Valentine's Day gift for your loved one, your spouse, whatever it is. If it's buying, if it's leasing, it's getting your vehicle serviced and you want it done right. You go to Bill Curry Ford. It's BillCurryFord.com. Plenty of ways to get a hold of Sean. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. You can email him. Stop in. Send them an email, call. You can do it by phone. Or really, the best way is just to go there. Ask for Sean Sullivan. And when you do go to Bill Curry Ford, remember two things. They love Joe Bucs fans. They love Bucs fans. They love JoeBucsFans.com fans. They have a Joe Bucs fan discount. And this is what I love. They got a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Go to BillCurryFord.com. All right? You do that. All right, let's get to this game. Bucs at Carolina, the 1 o'clock kickoff. The Buccaneers win. They're in the playoffs. The Buccaneers win. They will win the NFC championship, the NFC South. It's a hat and T-shirt game, meaning they'll wear the hats. They'll wear the shirts. They'll celebrate. That's basically the way they just look at it like this. I got the scenarios. If they lose, they can still get in. You need a couple of different scenarios. I'm looking at this like you have to go in looking like you have to win this game. You cannot back in. Look, you got Carolina here. Then you've got the Jets. And then you got Carolina to end the season. So there really are no excuses. Look, Carolina's been hit hard by injuries. They've been hit by COVID, just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nobody is going to feel sorry for you. Yeah, there is a next man up mentality. But the Buccaneers, come on, man. You won the Super Bowl. You know, you're talented. You're led by the GOAT. You know, the defense, there should not be any excuses. Now, Tom Brady will not have Mike Evans. He will not have Chris Godwin. And he won't have playoff Lenny. You are going to get Antonio Brown back. Will they be throwing to, or will Brady be throwing to, a Tyler Johnson? Yes. A Scotty Miller? Yes. And now Justin Watson is going to get his chance. Now, I've been at practices, and Justin Watson has been working hard, just as hard as anybody else, and he's been waiting for this opportunity. All right? Same thing with Scotty Miller. If you want to be in the NFL and you want to walk around like, hey, man, I'm an NFL player, you better step up when Brady throws you the pass and get open. That was the biggest thing for the in this last loss, the 9-0 loss. And Arian said it, and looking at the film, like, these guys, when you're getting your opportunity, man, you better be able to get open. Le'Veon Bell. Now, Le'Veon Bell was interesting. They signed Le'Veon Bell because playoff Lenny. Who knows if you're going to get him back for the playoffs? That's what they're hoping for. Keyshawn Vaughn, you've had your chance. You haven't stepped up. And Rojo, it is your time. Now, how fast can Le'Veon Bell, what can he do to help you in this game? Here's how I look at this thing. The guy's a veteran. He's been in really good shape, but not football shape. He's been boxing. He even called out Jake Paul. That's the new thing now. You try to get these YouTubers. They make a lot of money. They'll make you money. And he said to us this week that his cardio is really, really good. It's just a matter of these fast bursts and things like that. Look, he's not going to be the bell cow back. Rojo's going to be your back. And so Todd McNair is the running backs coach. And when he talked to us this week, he's like, man, when he was in his prime, he was the best. He knows how to wait for the holes to open. He's not like the slasher, the pounder. He doesn't take a lot of beating. He's good at catching the pass out of the backfield. That's not going to take that much time. He can catch. All right, he's very, very good and has been one of the best at that. So if they use him in third down situations, here and there, he picked up the offense after one day really, really fast because it is similar to what he ran when he was in Pittsburgh. Arians even mentioned that. So, you know what? They need him for depth. I know I had a lot of fans, oh, my God, this guy, yeah, he's a malcontent. He sat out that whole year. He wanted the contract. But McNair was saying he's totally different than, like, Richard Sherman. When they signed Richard Sherman beginning of the season, remember that when they were hurting, they needed somebody, Richard Sherman off the couch? He flew overnight from Seattle. He got here. He was out on the field. McNair said when he got to the building, he was coaching. Like, he was coaching. Le'Veon Bell's not like that. Le'Veon Bell is quiet. He's watching. Don't expect him to be like kind of like that leader. But look, at this point, you need a veteran in there, and I think it's going to be a decent pickup. Rojo, this is your time. He does have the ability to break the big one. If you remember last season, it was against the Saints. Remember that when he had that 98-yard run? That was in that big win, 46-23 over Carolina, and it was in Carolina. Rojo had 192 yards. Now, he doesn't say much. They had to kind of really twist his arm. Please, you know, talk to the media. We've been asking for him. He does not like talking. I don't care at this point whether you talk to the media, where you don't, whether you brag, whether you don't. Get it done on the field. If you think you're all that and playoff Lenny is out and now you are the man and it's against Carolina and you had a good game there last year and you're healthy, you know, you've been waiting for your chance. Step it the frick up. Brady and Gronk, they got to get back on the same page. Now, this is interesting. When I look at the film, and I really study this, after the game I was like, oh my God, Brady had a really bad game. That was the worst game. But when you look at it, his receivers, these backups, when Evans went down, you know, you don't have your Godwin, they were not getting separate. They were not getting open. You got to get open. When you're one-on-one or man coverage, you got to get open. Now, Arians mentioned that. And we asked Brady, I forget who it was. I asked Brady two questions this week, but I forget who it was that asked, why were you and Gronk not able to play better? You were not on the same page. And Brady had a different mentality this week. Every question that he was asked, he would hesitate. And then he would actually think about it. Like, he never off the cuff really quick answered. And he goes, why did Gronk and I not play better? I don't know. He was honest. I don't know. See, this is why we love the game, the sport. You can do all your analytics. You can break down all the stats that you want. But If it's just that day where your team is not in rhythm, like Gronk, That was not, and he, oh, so I asked Arians, do you think that Gronk and Brady will have a little more motivation for this game since both Gronk and Brady did not have a good game? That's exactly how I phrased it to Arians. And Arians said, oh, definitely. And he goes, Gronk, yes. But you know what? For Tom, we got to play better around Tom. And when I looked at it, Brady was under duress a lot, and especially in the first half. He was under pressure a lot, and you combine that with these receivers not getting open, he was screwed. He really was not as bad when you look at the film and watch it as you might first have thought after you saw the game, and you're just like, oh my God, that's why it's a sports. You never know. You never know if a player's having a bad day, he's having a problem with his wife. You don't know if there's a family, one of his kids is sick. You don't know if he didn't sleep this week for whatever reason, or he might have something going on. Like, that's why I love the game, the live game. And like that, analytics won't show you. But whatever it is. And the other thing, I'm going to bring this up right off the top. I found this interesting. That's why I asked this to Brady. Brady had they call it a veteran day. It's when you've been around a while, they have you take the day off. It's a long season. You got 17 games and the playoffs. And so Brady has had veteran days here and there. But this is strange because on Wednesday now, the Buccaneers do not really practice. It's walkthroughs. Friday is very, very light. So Thursday is really your one day that you really go at it practicing. And Brady was given a Veterans Day on Thursday, on the one day that they really need to work on everything. I found that a little almost like alarming. So I asked Tom. I said, Tom, this late in the season, how you holding up? How's your body? How you feeling? And are you getting more veteran days now than you did in the past? And so Brady was like, I don't know. He goes, you know, every year is different. I'm not really sure. And how I'm feeling? I feel good. I said, okay. So, I mean, that's all we got to go on. I don't know if there's something going on. So we'll see. But I just wanted to bring that up to you. But I would expect that he would be able to have he's not, it was almost like humbling, shut out, 9-0. We didn't hear from Gronk at all, so I don't know how he's doing or feeling, if there was something wrong. I will say this. A lot of you have given up on Cam Brate. Don't give up on Cam Brate yet. He's not had a great season. He still can come up with some clutch catches. O.J. Howard, he's on a milk carton. The guy is missing. Send out the missing persons bureau for O.J. Howard. And, you know, when I see him come out on practice, he is built like a brick shit house. He looks fine. When he does his running, there's no problem. No problem from the Achilles. I just don't know what happened. And this would be a time now where Brady needs to rely on some other receivers. All right, let's get to the Buccaneer defense. No Lavonte David. That will hurt. Lavonte David has been your leader. He also balls out. No safety Antoine Winfield Jr. in this game. Kevin Minter is going to be in there. He spoke with us this week. He is a capable backup. He's a backup, but he's capable. He's a veteran. There's a reason why they bring him around. And remember, you're going to go up against a quarterbacking duo that is not good. Sam Darnold's going to play in this game. He's going to be rusty for the time that he's been out. Cam Newton is inconsistent, and this could be it. I'm serious. This could be it for him. P.J. Walker, when they use him, sparingly. You don't have Christian McCaffrey. Look, the last three games for the Carolina Panthers, they are ranked 31st in the NFL in yards per play. All right? This is a really bad offense, and it's a bad offensive line, and I will get to that. Meanwhile, getting back to the Buccaneer defense, offense, outside linebacker, JPP, you can pretty much stick a fork in him. The guy plays hurt as when he can. He will need surgery. He's listed as doubtful on that final Friday injury report that we got. You're going to see Joe Tryon-Shoyinka. And again, just like Rojo, Tryon Soyinka, this is your time. You got the speed. You got the quickness. You got the burst. You just got to finish. You're starting to get that, and this is your chance, Joe Tryon Soyinka. You've seen it enough. You've been enough. You're young. You're healthy. You bring it. How about the offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Now, Ryan Jensen, Ali Marpet, Tristan Wirfs were all announced to be on the Pro Bowl. And I like what Joe did. Joe wrote about this, and I like that on Joe Bucks Fan. It's a popularity contest. Yeah, does it really mean anything? It does for the players because they trotted out all the Pro Bowlers this week on a Thursday for us media geeks that were there. And, like, they were admitting it was emotional. They called, like, Ryan Jensen was on the phone with his dad. They found out in a team meeting. The offensive line was in their team meeting room. The O-line coach came in, and he's the one that told them. And he said it was emotional. Tristan Wirfs was on the phone with his family. Ali Marpet, after all the years, I mean, for them. So I was thinking, like, that's got to pump you up, man. You're a Pro Bowler. You can say I'm a Pro Bowler. Believe it or not, that helps out down the road, how many Pro Bowls you make as far as the money you're going to make. So now Donovan Smith did not make it. You also have Kappa. But I would expect the offensive line to ball out in this game. Use that as motivation. Protect Brady better because you did not do a good job in that 9-0 shutout in this last game. Brady was under duress by the Saints. All right? Meanwhile, Carolina, like I mentioned, it's Cam Newton. Both quarterbacks are going to play in this game. Cam Newton likes to run it. His passing has been really inconsistent. Sam Darnold is going to be your pocket passer, okay? So you got two different types of QBs in this game. All righty. What about Shaq Barrett? Shaq Barrett, your Pro Bowler. Shaq Barrett, this guy has been pretty damn consistent. From that edge rusher, he is your sackmeister. Stay hot, Shaq Barrett. Keep hot. Stay aggressive. You know, he told us that he's two different people. When he comes out in practice, it doesn't matter what temperature it is. He wears his hoodie. He wears a sweatshirt with the hood and long sleeves when it's 100 degrees. When he came out and talked to us, he's got the hoodie on. He's a different person. When he goes home, you know, I follow a lot of these guys on Instagram, and during the Christmas, he had his jammies on with his family and his kids and his wife, and they were having a family movie the other night, Christmas Eve. But he turns into a different person, man, when he gets out, when he's ready for practice and especially for game time. And you should have a damn good game. Because this is the game that, like I said, I got some stats on Cam Newton. Let me get it to you right now. Sam Darnold and Cam Newton. You want their stats? You stats geeks? Combined, Darnold, Cam Newton, 11 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Carolina's O-line is one of the worst in the NFL. Their number one wide receiver deep threat. Your go-to guy. He's got a hamstring issue. DJ Moore. All right? So my point is the Buccaneers players. Now, here's the thing. How do you motivate them? You know what? If I was Bruce Arians, I would show them the shirts or the hats. Is there a makeshift trophy that you get for the NFC South title? Do something. Because it's the Carolina Panthers, what week are we in? You know, you are playing to clinch it. You're playing to clinch the NFC South. You're trying to clinch home field advantage. Get at least one, maybe two. You know, try to win out. So, like, he's got to do something, a speech, something, man, to motivate these guys. Because you're going into Carolina, the setting is not going to be hostile. It's not going to be crazy. All right. Like I said, Rojo, you pick it up, but you need some kind of a spark because after this one, it's the Jets in the Meadowlands, and then it's home to Carolina. Now, Panthers defense, they're led by Hassan Reddick. He makes their defense go. He's their baller. He's got 11 sacks, Pro Bowler Brian Burns has 9. I know a lot in Carolina. Fans, media as well, really should have thought that Hassan Riddick was your Pro Bowler and not Brian Burns. But regardless, all right? The O-line, Bucks O-line, your tight ends, your backs, you allowed 4 sacks last week against the Saints. You cannot let the Panthers do that like what the Saints did to you last week. The Panthers are going to be starting a third string center, Sam Tecklenburg. They've had injuries. COVID has hit that offensive line. You got a third stringer going to be going for the Carolina Panthers. All right, it's time for my Rock Lister. Let me bring in my Rock Lister. He's Ben Murphy. He's with the CBS affiliate, Channel 10, WTSP. And he's there. He's covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he's at practice. I like to bring in my A-listers that are there, that are seeing what's going on. He's seeing what's going on. Let me bring in another voice. And by the way, now he covered the Buccaneers last year. He came here from Jacksonville. He was with a Jacksonville TV station. I believe he grew up in the Jacksonville area. He knows the Jaguars really, really good. So not only do I ask him about the Buck situation, the Leftwich, because that's kind of calmed down. Did you notice that? With the offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich. Oh, he's the number one candidate. And look at if you go online to bet Leftwich, they're going to lose Leftwich. You didn't hear much after the 9-0 loss. It's funny how the narrative changes after each game, doesn't it? Like, oh, my God, he called a terrible game. Well, regardless. So I also ask Ben Murphy, what are his sources in Jacksonville saying? Does Leftwich have a shot of leaving here and going to be the head coach? And what about the Urban Meyer? But it's really on the Bucks. So without further ado, let me bring in Ben. This is my Rock Lister here today. Ben, take it away, my man. All righty, Ben Murphy. He's out and about, man. He's covering the Buccaneers and so many local sports stories like a glove for 10 Tampa Bay Sports. Ben, how you doing, my man?
Any better, I would be you, Rock Riley. Any better, I would be you.
My friend that was in radio for years here, Whitney Johnson, a young guy asked him, he said, I want to be like you. He said, set your sights higher. So set your sights higher, Ben. Okay, here we go. You've been covering the Buccaneers all season. You covered them last year. You came here from Jacksonville, but you've been covering the Buccaneers. I mean, that was a dud, was it not?
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I think everything starts when you have a dud like that. When you have a dud like that, everything starts up front, right? And I think it starts with the offensive line, and I think people will look at the injuries, right, and say, you know what, they lost talent at receiver, and they did. And that's definitely a part of it with timing and everything that goes into it. But it doesn't matter who the talent is on the outside if you're not winning the game up front, and the Saints' defensive line in the last two appearances with these two teams has won the battle up front. 4 sacks on Sunday, Rock Riley. You're not going to beat a lot of teams when Brady, who although has shown a little bit of life in the legs, is not necessarily flexible when he's being pushed like he was on Sunday. So when you're able to get to him, that's the recipe. And look, the injuries definitely played a part of it, and you're not going to hide from that. Leonard Fournette has been incredible out of the backfield catching the ball, and on third down you saw some issues with that as well. And we don't have that quick check down to hit to because you are getting pressured by such a talented defensive line and a strong secondary. You need a guy like Fournette to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. Didn't have that in the second half. Brady struggled to get the ball out quick and find his guys because the timing was off, and the Saints forced the hand. And I think it's a one-off. I mean, the Bucks have a strong offensive line. Hey, look, the Saints have had their number over the last two seasons, but Saints didn't have their number in the playoffs last year. So if they'd get to meet again in the pressure situation, good memories for this Tampa Bay team.
I'm glad you're bringing that up because nobody is bringing up the line play. Everybody is bringing up the injuries, the drop balls, what happened to Gronk. Brady looked human, and it does start up front.
Look, I think it's difficult because the timing is a little bit off when you don't have those frontline guys, right? But it gets exaggerated when things start to accelerate and the game starts to speed up, because when the game starts to speed up, you have to make those decisions. And look, Scotty Miller hasn't had the reps. He's been hurt all year. Jalen Darden's still trying to find his space in this system. Tyler Johnson made a couple plays on Sunday, but he's not going to beat anyone to the edge like Antonio Brown is. So I think the things that are off when you have your frontline guys gone there are exaggerated or blown up when the offensive line is struggling to look, just give Brady the time that he needed to find the backups. That's really what it came down to on Sunday, was just kind of a lot of little red flags that were blown up by the pressure from the Saints, and that's the hill I'm standing on with when it comes to the loss on Sunday.
All right, now what about the defense? I think losing Lavonte David is huge, and the secondary has been mixing and matching all season long. So what do you make of it going into this game with Carolina now? They should be able to take care of business, but what about the defense, Ben?
Yeah, and I think it's fortunately for the Bucs, they get Carolina twice to close the season, so you do get a little good stretch heading into the playoffs. It's just a matter of can you squeeze to that top spot in the NFC, and it's looking a lot more grim for this defense to be able to do that with only a few weeks left and the Packers controlling their own destiny. I think the linebacker play will be okay. I think David obviously is a huge miss. Look, we gotta see D. White step up and continue to grow throughout the season. I think he struggled a little bit earlier on, but this defense has stepped up. The secondary, honestly, it with how banged up they have been, it's honestly been getting a good grade for what they've been able to do as far as being on the COVID list, injured. I mean, you get Murphy Bunting out game one. I mean, it's been a mix and match mess. But look, it's at this point, with what they've built equity-wise and the schedule to this point, having gotten to double-digit wins, you're just trying to get to the playoffs and reset and get healthy, because you know what 12 does and with this locker room when it comes winter time, January, February. So it's for this defense, it's survive and advance, and you're playing with house money, and maybe you can get to that one seed. Doubt it, but that's what it is at this point.
All right, so with the embarrassing 9-0 shutout, is it reason for concern for you? Are you concerned? Or, because you know how it goes in the NFL, Ben, if they win in Carolina, they'll put on the hats, they'll put on the shirts, they've clinched the playoff, they've won the NFC South, yeah, and that whole vibe can change. Where are you on that?
What was the concern? I mean, here's the thing. What kind of concern level was there when they got – was it a Monday night or Sunday night game against the Saints about a year ago? Look, this is the NFL, and it depends on who wakes up and had the right breakfast. And I think the feeding regimen come playoff time will be right with this team. I'm not overly concerned. Look, the Jags beat the Bills. This can happen. I mean, it can, any given Sunday, someone can wake up and beat the other. And look, that's a concern in the playoffs. But I think when it comes to playoff time, they've got the recipe. They've got things right. And look, the two seasons that this Tampa Bay franchise can claim a Super Bowl, they're 0-4 in the regular season on against the New Orleans Saints. Failed to beat the Saints in 2002 in the regular season twice. Lost in overtime one of those games. Fast forward a couple decades later, Brady comes in. They lose to the Saints twice in the regular season. So maybe this is a little bit of a good karma for this Tampa Bay Bucs team, because they failed to beat the Saints in either regular season game this year. So if they get it done, I think they know the recipe for success when it comes to getting a ring.
All right, here's my last one. And young Ben Murphy, I'm very impressed by the homework that you did. And you weren't around here when they won the Super Bowl at that time and lost to the Saints. I'm very impressed. You do your homework, Ben Murphy. All right, you did cover the Jacksonville Jaguars. There could be a tie with Byron Leftwich, the OC here. Played there, he's young. They're going to be looking. I would assume you kind of got to maybe have an offensive guy with Trevor. So, were you surprised? Number one, you know the people in Jacksonville that they fired Urban Meyer. He did not make the season. And do you think, is Leftwich a possibility to take that head coaching gig?
Yeah, now? He's definitely a possibility. Do I think he's ready? I think they need someone with HC experience. To be quite honest, this is a mess. They need some structure. They need some stability. And I don't think they need to be going out on a limb on anything. I think a lot of people want Leftwich in there, and I think he has done a good job. But look, I think it may be just not the right time. I think you look at a Caldwell, a Peterson, to maybe emerge in the next couple weeks. As far as the Urban situation goes, look, having grown up in the state of Florida and watched Urban came in and did what he did to the college ranks, look, I still think he's a good football coach. I think what happened there is, it's, yeah, and you could say the parallels are different in college and the NFL. he had too much power when it came to the GM side of things, and he tried to build the roster in a way that he envisioned a successful roster. And look, it's not the same alignment when you're winning it at the D1 level and you're winning at the NFL level, because anyone on any given Sunday can wake up and win a game. In college, not anyone on any given Saturday can wake up and win. That's not how it works at that level. He needed a little bit less hands-on in the general manager room. I think he was given too much power as far as building the roster, controlling the roster, and I think he just lost the reins when they started to lose, which we've seen for him in the past, but we knew it was going to happen, and I think maybe we just thought he would compensate for what the NFL is, and you are going to lose. That was not the case. So when he lost the handle, he lost the handle, and leading to the Jags at this point. But I think, yeah, a Peterson might be an interesting choice, former Eagles Super Bowl winning coach.
Well, it's funny with Bucks fans. Like, a lot are going to be like, oh, God, no, there's no way that Leftwich could do it, and anybody could be the OC with Brady. And then there's the other lot of fans that are listening are going to be the other way. So you think, man, maybe not right now. Don't concern, depending on where you are. And you're not really concerned overall with this clunker with the Buccaneers. So get healthy for the playoffs. That would be the message, and they know how to get it done. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's going to lose their frontline talent and any team across the league is going to struggle. I mean, right, it is what it is. I mean, look, Brady's carried lesser teams, even if they are banged up, to the Super Bowl. So it's a matter of will they be able to win the battle up front, run the rock, and do what you do in these cold weather situations if they do have to go on the road to Green Bay in the playoffs. We've got a guy here that's familiar with it, no matter who he's carrying. But any team's going to struggle when you go through injuries. It is what it is. It's football. So, look, see how healthy you can get. Take Tom Brady, number 12, the greatest of all time, into the playoffs. And I'd roll the dice with him any day of the week.
Ben Murphy, WTSP, Channel 10, CBS affiliate, out and about. Thank you so much for coming on Bucks Kickoff.
Yeah, anytime, happy.
All right, thank you, Ben. What's new for this game? For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to activate Justin Watson. Now, it's a long time coming for this guy. He has been there at practice. I've seen him. He stretches and runs with Scotty Miller. He's going to get his chance. Cornerback Rashard Robinson also coming back from injury. So they're activating him. Both of those guys play on special teams. The secondary for the Buccaneers is getting a little bit healthier. Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting. They look to be your starters for this bad boy. The backups, the fragrant one, as Joe likes to call, Pierre Desir, Russ Cockrell, and Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman has been training at safety from corner. He looks fine to me. He did return a punt in practice. Now, I wish I had video of this. We're standing out there watching practice, and I'm always we're looking for Antonio Brown. Is he going to make an appearance? We've only got a window of about 20 minutes. Sometimes they'll let us in. They have a clock running. You got about 6-7 minutes. Then they blow the horn. Then it starts from zero. It starts, I think it's 17 minutes. And we got that much time to watch. Watch and observe. It's usually special teams. The position groups are going through their little drills, okay? So I'm watching special teams, and no Jalen Darden. And I looked over at another reporter, and I'm like, where's Jalen Darden? He wasn't on the injury report. That's strange. Little number one's not here at all. You see him? No, I haven't seen him. Next day we find out he's on the COVID list. I don't know how much that's really going to hurt, because you know what? Yeah, he's got speed. Yeah, Arians used to say that, you know, when you watch the film, he just explodes on the when you're watching it, how fast he is. But what good is that if you can't put it to use? He's like falling down so much. I don't know if he's really an NFL ready. But regardless, you don't have Jalen Darden for this game. So then I opinion, even though he was injured, his punts during practice looked pretty darn good again. They looked back, whatever that mental thing that he had, I'm hoping that that's gone. So I look over, and I'm looking for Antonio Brown, and oh, here comes Gronk. So Gronk comes out, boom, 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 and I look back, and I'm like, that looks like Richard Sherman is returning that punt. And I looked over at another report. I said, did you see that? Yeah, that was Richard Sherman. No, it was official. The coaches were there. Now, after he took that rep returning the punt, then he went off to the side. So, and Joe put it good on Joe Bucks fan. I don't, and we didn't have a chance to talk to Richard Sherman after that. I don't know if he is a possibility and they wanted to get him a rep or two, or did he just jump in there? Usually these players don't jump into a drill if it wasn't set up by the coach. That's very unusual. It isn't that loose during this practice. Everything is structured. So Richard Sherman did return a punt. At least we took at least one rep that I saw, but it was already too late. He was already cutting. He cut outside, and then he shot inside, returning that punt. So I don't know whether he was just fooling around and the coach let him or he asked, but usually they don't just jump into drills if it isn't set up. All right, that. Oh, and the running back, another returner, Kenyon Barner, that they just got recently. He was activated. Jalen Darden, like I said, is on the COVID list. So that's the situation there. All right, let's get a little bit more back into this bad boy. The Brady offense versus the Panthers defense. Now, defensive end Brian Burns, like I said, he was voted to the Pro Bowl. Might have been more of a popularity thing. I think Reddick has had a better season. But regardless, so I'm listening to these interviews that they did this week, and Burns said, watching the tape of Brady, and he was asked about the GOAT. This is his quote. This is Brian Burns, defensive end for the Panthers. There is no way that Brady is going to want to get shut out twice. So they're definitely going to come up with something to get their offense going after that performance that they just put out. How much, you know, what do you think? What do they work on? I don't know. Are we expecting a little something different? Well, it's going to be different because you don't have a Mike Evans. You don't have a Godwin. You don't have a playoff Lenny. The game plan for the Panthers, listening to their interviews this week, including Matt Rhule, they're going to try to mimic what the Saints did. Play physical, because if you remember earlier here, I mentioned a lot of the Bucs players were admitting they did not play. They did not come out balling. They did not play physical in this last game against the Saints. That's what I'm saying. Hopefully Arians will have something to motivate them. You're going to play. Come on, man. Let's clinch it. Let's clinch it now. You want to win the NFC South? This is it. Do it. This is important. Something like that. You got to. Anyway, play physical. That's what the Panthers' game plan is going to be. They want to bring the pressure, and they want to cover the Bucs, do better coverage with, like, Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller. All right? Don't let these guys get open. Now, Arians has said, I like Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller's got big play capability. He did it last year in crunch time in the playoffs. You remember that? Do you remember that Green Bay Packers game? Arians has said that Scotty Miller is not basically strong enough when it's one-on-one against a bigger corner to be able to get open. Scotty, prove me right. I'm saying that you're going to do it. Get open, because you know that the GOAT can find you, that you got a connection, all right? Burns also was saying that it's really annoying. This is a quote on how fast, like, Brady gets rid of the ball when they've been studying. He goes, it's really annoying. Brady gets rid of the ball so fast. I do my best move, and then the ball is out. It kind of sucks. You know, but yeah, he's very good at what he does, but it's annoying. The fact that Brady was not able to get rid of it like he normally does that fast because he was under the pressure. Stephon Gilmore, their stud cornerback. All right. Now, remember, he was on the Patriots for 3 seasons with Brady in New England. So he was asked about Brady, and he goes, it's not a one-person thing. It takes a full 11 guys doing their job and doing it at a high level. We know what type of quarterback he is, so it's going to take all of us playing as a complete team. You can't try to star and one-up, and, you know, you got to play as a unit, especially with Brady. Matt Rhule. Now, Matt Rhule, boy, he has lost. He's out of favor in Carolina right now. If you were to ask, the fan base is restless. Media, I was following a lot of the Carolina Panthers media, and oh my God, when he got there, I remember specifically David Tepper, the owner that's got all the Bucks. He brought him, I believe he gave him a 7-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. And he won the press conference in his first day. There were those that were sitting there for his press conference saying it felt like it was like a revival. Like he was, you felt like you could walk on water after that. You know, they had the good start. They're like, oh my God, this guy's got something. Well, it ain't like that now. And there was, like I said, a specific press conference that he gave this week when he was asked, like, how are you going to motivate your team? He says, I don't, it's not my job. I couldn't believe he actually said that. You know, say something. Well, we're going to play for this. You're playing for jobs. You know, we want to work on this. You know, you're playing against the Super Bowl champs. You want to feel good about yourself. Say something. That's the deal. Now, Cam Newton is going to play. So is Sam Darnold. Cam Newton, when he got there, he brought a lot of energy. That first game back, he was going around. I remember he hugged McCaffrey. McCaffrey even said, there's nobody that brings as much energy as Cam Newton. This may be his last game in this stadium at Bank of America Stadium. Now he's going to be a backup. He said this week, I'm focused on winning. Nothing else is important to me than winning. I'm the ultimate competitor. I'm the ultimate team player. I prayed some more. I meditated just on winning. I will say this. Teammates of Cam Newton have spoke pretty good about him. My thing with Cam Newton is I know the Superman thing is kind of cool, but when you score a touchdown, I've seen it, he like pushes away his teammates. He's got to do that celebration first by himself. Like, I just don't like that. I'm sorry. But whatever. He was a hell of a player. Cam Newton, I looked up some numbers. Cam Newton is number one in NFL history when it comes to quarterbacks with rushing touchdowns. He's number one. His passer rating, the last three games, do you know what his passer rating is the last three games? 46.0. 7 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Once Christian McCaffrey got hurt, their protection was breaking down, and he's just, it's bad. It's bad. Now, Cam did, and I know Rule mentioned this week, that like he did have a 15-play drive last week, but there were no points. Can you imagine that? Like, how many 15-play drives did the Bucks have? You know, it's like, okay, that was a really, really good drive. That's what Matt Rule, when he was asked about Cam Newton, that's the only positive that he can come up with. He did have a 15-play drive, but we weren't able to come up with points. Sam Darnold, meanwhile, he's coming off of IR with the shoulder injury, and even when he was a starter, he was 4-for-5. Most feel like the Carolina Panthers will have to draft a quarterback in this draft. It ain't going to be Darnold as your guy going forward. It ain't going to be PJ, and it ain't going to be Cam Newton. But anyway, let me get back more to this game. Now, this Bucks kickoff podcast, as always, every single week, I'm 24 hours before every Buccaneer game, and it's brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Beautiful showroom. Sean Sullivan is the GOAT when it comes to general managers of cars dealerships. And when you go to a car dealership, you don't want to be taken. You want honesty. You want to get the best deal. And Bill Curry Ford is the place to go. Go to their showroom. Go check it out. Beautiful showroom. Go see Sean Sullivan. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of him. You can do it by email. You can do it by phone. Or just show up. The website is BillCurryFord.com. They're located a quarter of a mile north on Dale Mabry from Raymond James Stadium. They love Joe Bucks fans, and they love Buccaneer fans, and they love football fans. So make sure you tell them, hey, Rock sent me. I'm from Joe Bucks fan, Rock Riley. You get a Joe Bucks fan discount. Who doesn't want a discount when you're buying a car or leasing or just getting your vehicle serviced and getting it serviced right? Also, they have a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. go to BillCurryFord.com and make sure you ask for Sean Sullivan. Check out his podcast also. He does a podcast here. He loves to check out the guys coming in, you know, from the draft, coming out of college. He loves his football. You know what I found very interesting this week? Casey from Buccaneers.com sits down with the GOAT and sits down with Bruce Arians. And there was a lot of good nuggets that came out of her sit-down interview, Casey Phillips, with Arians. And I'm trying to see if this is where I took it. Yeah. All right, there were some things here. This is what Arians said. And, you know, he's in a relaxed mode. He's at the facility. He knows Casey. You're never going to get, like, a real hardball question, you know, or a tough, you know, something's going to put him on. You know, but she does a good job. She does her homework. So the offense and the special teams, Arian says, if you didn't see this interview, we got out hit. The defense played lights out, and the Bucs didn't have penalties in this last game. So that was your positive. Defense, according to Arians, played lights out, and we didn't have the penalties. She asked, what about losing all the players to injury? Will it have an effect now? And you know what he said? This was a good one. It will have an effect down the road. How about that? That's some honesty. Linebacker Levante David out with the foot for the regular season. Liz Frank. Ooh, you never want to hear it's a Liz Frank injury. What about the veteran leaders? You know, what about that? Can they step it up, and what are they going to do? Arian says that they have about 10 or 12 veteran leaders on this team. So that shouldn't be a problem. But he also said that when Levante David speaks up, everybody listens. He didn't bring up Gronk. He didn't bring up Ndamukong Suh. He didn't bring up Shaq Barrett. He mentioned Levante David. So maybe Levante David can give him a little speech or something for this thing. Devin White is back 2 weeks in a row. He said that Devin White was flying all over the place. You know, and he's also checking the defenders to the right spot. So he believes that Devin White has been stepping up his game. Joe Tryon Shoyinka playing a little bit more inside. Arians thinks that he is starting to finish right now. The good thing is defensively they stopped Alvin Kamara and Ingram. I think Alvin Kamara was at 18 yards, Ingram 10. The intensity of the front five, that's what Arian said. They got good intensity from their front five. Also, the linebackers to the secondary did tackle well. That was the thing that I called for in that game. Tackle well when you got a guy like Alvin Kamara. They did do that. So there were some positives. What is Mike Edwards going to bring? Because you're getting Edwards back from the fake vax card, you know, just like Antonio Brown. Everybody talks about Antonio Brown, but you get Mike Edwards back. And Edwards is a ball hawk. That's what Edwards doesn't, you know, he's your ball. He's a ball hawk. So, and he also, you know what Arians also said? He doesn't drop interceptions. That's from Arians. They did a good job with Taysom Hill. Can that carry over for the defense? Because you got Cam Newton. And he's a quarterback that runs. Bradley Pinion was listed. You know, he's had an injury, and he did not punt well. Remember I told you he had it? I was watching him in practice. He's got a mental thing or something? And again, and it translated, carried over into the game. Arian said the injury had nothing to do with it. He's fine. Suck up cannot continue. That, according to Arian, we can't have that. And I looked up. Suck up. If you look at Suckup's numbers this year, they're not that bad. Yes, he missed a 48-yard field goal, but he's missed three extra points the entire season. He's 47 of 50 on that, and better than last season. He's 17 of 21 on field goals, but Arians goes, he can't continue. Can't continue. So, you know what, Suckup? I don't think you were allowed to even have a miss, period. I'm trying to think of anything else that I wanted to bring up. Let's go Brady versus this defense. I think that's what it's going to come down to. The Carolina Panthers offense is not good. They're not very good in yards per play. Cam Newton and Sam Darnold, forget about it. You don't have McCaffrey. Hubbard is decent. Look, it's going to come down to Brady in the offense, Brady and these backup receivers, get open, give Brady a little bit more time. He's going to find you. Like that one pass, you see that pass coming out of the backfield, Keyshawn Vaughn? Keyshawn Vaughn goes up the middle, he's wide open, and he stumbles and falls down. Brady puts the pass in the exact perfect spot, and he kind of just like, are you kidding me? And then on to the next. You can't have that, man. This is the NFL. Brady and the Bucs offense, they are ranked number two when it comes to passing offense in the NFL. Last week, if you go by numbers against the Saints, Brady's was only, 54% completion rate? Yeah, because of all the drops and the receivers. His quarterback rating was 57.1. Now, the last time that Brady played the Carolina Panthers, he threw for four touchdowns, 341 yards, three passing, one rushing. He had four total touchdowns, no picks. His passer rating was 124. So he had a really, really good game. The Buccaneers' rush defense is still good. You should be able to shut down the Panthers' rushing offense in this game. They're giving up 89 yards per game. All right? The Panthers' passing defense, number two in all of the NFL. That's damn good. They're only giving up 178 yards passing per game. Their top three corners have been out since the start of the season, even though they're a little bit healthier. So all in all for this game, to me, it's a must win. Now, I'm not that concerned about the 9-0 loss to the Saints. That I'm going to chalk that one up as their clunker. That was just a bad, bad day. You could feel it. I'm up there in the press box. I'm watching it. And it just, there was no flow. Like Brady was just not able to get into rhythm, into flow. And this is a Carolina Panthers team that is done. They're done. They're you know, Robbie Anderson, he's not what he once was. I told you, DJ Moore's got the hammy. So, I mean, this is it. You can't. If you want to make a run in the playoffs, it's got to start now. It's got to start with a good game here. It's got to start with celebrating with the hats and the T-shirts, and you wear that on the plane, and you have a great short plane ride home, and you clinch a playoff berth, okay? You're looking to try to get that second playoff game at home. And clinch, and that's going to put the frame of mind back again. And then you take care of business against the Jets. And we'll see what happens. I know there's that age-old question. Do you rest your starters? I know Sage, Ira Kaufman, was on with the Mad Dog. He always is. And I know Mad Dog had, I think Joe wrote about this, Mad Dog had Peter King on. And he thinks that with these crappy teams, you know what I mean, you should be able to win with backups and starter. And it usually doesn't work out good when you rest. You know, you kind of back in. Bottom line is, and I, you know what, I'm not even going to read these scenarios. If Minnesota wins and if the Buccaneers lose, they could still claim. Win this game. If you lose this game to the Carolina Panthers, I'm sending out the sirens and alert. There's a problem here. There's a major problem. You cannot lose this game, okay? You have to win this game. Celebrate. We all, as fans, everybody can celebrate. You're NFC South champions. You clinched a playoff berth. You're feeling good, all right? You have to win this game. Thank you to Joe Bucs fan. Thank you to all of you that listen. Again, as long as we thought we were done, media going over into with the protocols, things are changing with this strain, with the virus, and we thought we were done. I was like, oh, I can't bring my insight. And then we get the email, no, we're okay, because we're outside down here in Florida. You know, we can watch practice outside. They're not, it's not cold. You're not practicing in an indoor facility. So as long as they allow me and allow us, I'm going to still keep bringing you the insight. Okay. And it was focused on Thursday. There wasn't as much joking around. They know what's at stake. They know they got embarrassed by the New Orleans Saints. They know they got shut out. And so you got the five Pro Bowlers, the offensive line. You got three on the offensive line. You guys should be pumped up, man. You should be walking with your head up like, I'm a Pro Bowler. I'm protecting the Brady. And let's get it done in Carolina. All right? Thank you. Thank you to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa. Thank you to Joe Bucks fan. And thank you for listening. Enjoy this game and enjoy this win.